I am Planta on the Line. This is thecommentary.ca. The filmmaker Deepa Mehta joins me now. Her latest picture, Heaven on Earth, is a fascinating, tense, sometimes harrowing film about a young woman from India who comes to Canada to marry a man she's not yet met. Besides an arranged marriage, she has to live with her husband's family. Immediately, she feels isolated, and as the film vividly depicts immigrant life in Canada, it also provides the viewer into a view of a mythical world based in an Indian folktale that comes to life, which, I might add, includes a king cobra. The movie stars Bollywood superstar and Indian supermodel the luminescent Preeti Zinta as Chan, the new bride. Deepa Mehta is an acclaimed filmmaker at home and abroad. Her three-film trilogy, Fire, Earth, and Water, were critical hits and prize winners. Water was nominated for the Academy Award for Best Foreign Language Film. She wrote and directed Heaven on Earth, which opens in Vancouver and Toronto on the 31st of October. Deepa Mehta joined me here in Vancouver. Who is Mona Gill?
Mona Gill is this wonderful woman in Edmonton who I met about 3 years ago. And I met her at a reception for my film Water, and she was there with her young daughter, and we started talking, and as we started talking, it unfolded that she'd been in an abusive relationship and she'd walked out of that relationship, and I was really impressed with her. And I said, "What are you doing now?" And she said, "I joined the police force." So that was amazing, that somebody could have that kind of strength and realize that it was important that the community was represented really well in the force, and she was there for other women.
How common is this experience, though, of an arranged marriage that turns violent, that goes wrong?
Probably as common as a dating service through the computer in North America.
Really?
Of course, it's universal. I mean, that's the thing about abuse, that it doesn't know any color, it doesn't know any culture, it doesn't know any geographic boundaries, it doesn't know any class. It happens all over the world.
Do you find, though, that Ms. Gill, that in her case that she was able to get out, is that common as well?
It's rare, because a lot of women, and this is, white women or brown women or whatever, I find it very difficult to walk out, because, especially if they're immigrants, actually, because they don't have a support system, and that's the difference. That's the main difference between the mainstream and immigrant women who come here.
You wrote and directed the film. The character played by Miss Zinta Chand, what part of India is she from?
She's from northern India.
What is it about her that you like, personally?
Well, she's a wonderful actress, which is the most important thing for me as a director. Is that you want an actor who's going to be playing the character to understand the character totally and to have talent, and she has that in spades.
And she's a big deal in Bollywood, is that right?
She's a huge deal in Bollywood, yeah.
How did you come about casting her?
I had finished writing the script, and I'd gone to London, and I met her there at a function, and as I was talking to her, that was the first time I'd met her. I realized that she would make a perfect Chand.
And about the character Chand, what is it about her that you like?
What I love about Chand is that she triumphs and she uses her imagination to free herself.
The film is set in Brampton. Well, why did you choose Brampton?
Brampton, like many of the suburbs, it could have been any suburb of Toronto for that matter. But
or Canada for that matter.
Or Canada, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's so typical. What's happening is that the urban centers was, like 15 years ago, immigrants would come and live in the inner cities. But now they, as they're getting more entrenched in the community, they find themselves going out to have bigger houses, and so most of the immigrants live in the suburbs.
That's the thing that struck me when I saw the film, that it looked awfully real. It could have been, a suburb of Vancouver, frankly.
Yes, it could have been. I mean, and it could be the suburbs of London, and it could be the suburbs of Germany.
The film talks to the immigrant experience. Was that a goal of yours, to somehow illuminate that to a larger audience?
Yes, absolutely. Because for me, the film is not just about abuse. It's also about the isolation of immigrants and the immigrant experience and how difficult it is.
Did you face similar things like that when you immigrated to Canada?
I was lucky in a sense because firstly I had the language, and and that helped enormously. And also, I was a working filmmaker, so I had a job. If you're in the arts, it just you are by nature, or by what happens is that you do meet people who are far more liberal than they would if you worked in a factory.
How did this film come about? You wrote it first, obviously.
The ideas
for
it?
Yeah, the idea for the film came where?
I think it initially came from a book that I read by Roddy Doyle, who's this brilliant writer, called The Woman Who Walked Into Doors. And it's a book about abuse and in Ireland. And it just set me thinking about why women stay on in abusive relationships. And as I explored it deeper, I think, I sort of honed in on the immigrant women because they're the ones that feel the isolation the most.
Do you always direct the films that you write?
Yes, I do.
Is there one that you prefer over the other? I mean, you obviously like both jobs that you would
do. I prefer directing.
Do you?
Yes, I do. And in fact, I think that when I write as a director. So all my scripts are really, have images more than anything else, you know. So I write what I see, what I want to see.
The cobra.
Yes.
In the film.
Yes.
What's the Indian folktale behind that?
The folktale is about a saint who's going on a pilgrimage and on his way to the pilgrimage. I mean, it's a myth and it's obviously an allegory. And on his way to the pilgrimage, he meets a snake who's terrified the whole village. And so the saint talks to the snake and he says, you know, what's going on? You know, why don't you get your act together and stop hurting people? And so and talks to the snake and has a big dialogue with the snake about that, about why it's not good to harm people and terrify people. And so the snake reforms, and the next time the saint goes away, and then the next time the saint's going on another pilgrimage after a year, he comes and he can't see the snake anywhere. So he looks around and he says, where are you? And he finds the snake, and the snake comes out of its pit, and he's really skinny and he's bruised and he's barely alive. And so the saint said, what happened to you? And he said, you know, you told me not to to kill or frighten anybody. So since I've stopped doing that, everybody, whenever they see me, they take a stone and they hit me. So I haven't been able to go out to eat or drink water. So the saint says to the snake, I told you not to bite, but I never said not to hiss. So the whole, the sort of moral, it's like an Aesop's fable. I mean, we've all heard it since, in India at least, when I was growing up, in many provinces and in many forms and in many languages. And the moral of the story is that, you know, you can protect yourself without harming anybody.
The back to the film and the actors in the film, I really hated Rocky's mother. I wanted,
yes, I wanted, very nice. No.
I wanted to beat her with a rolling pin. You know? Who played her?
A wonderful actress from Vancouver called Belinda Johal. She's amazing, and she's from your town.
She's really great in the film, isn't she?
Oh, she's fabulous, and she's the sweetest person in the world. So, poor thing, has just been, you know, has a lot of people like you saying, I want to beat her up with a rolling pin.
Yeah. Why is it that she's so dominant in her family, especially over her husband?
You know, I was talking about it a few days ago, that it's a lot about the victim becoming the victimizer. And, you know, it happens in all forms, that if you've been bullied, and if you get a chance, you bully back, you know. And the whole thing about abuse, of course, is that it's a cycle that perpetuates itself.
That's the one thing. I mean, a lot of people have been making a bit of fuss over the abuse that you see in the film. It's not gratuitous, but it's quite tense sitting in the screening there watching it.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost as if it were a thriller. Was that your intent?
No, I didn't want to make a thriller. No, but I think that it is tense. And it should be dense, and it should be disturbing, because it happens. And it's something that happens all the time, and we aren't aware of it. Or we don't want to be aware of it, which is even worse.
Looking back at this film and your previous films, what motivates you as a filmmaker most? Is it to get out there and say something?
Not necessarily. I made comedies as well, but it depends on the story, the story that I want to tell. And certainly, if by the exploration of something that intrigues me as a person, and that I want to gain knowledge about in the process of doing that or making a film, if it creates some kind of an awareness or dialogue, that's great.
And do you enjoy making this film?
I love making this film.
And did the actors, especially since the material is sort of tense, as I said, did they enjoy it?
Absolutely, because, finally it's a film. I mean, the minute you say cut, everybody's back to normal. And we had intensive workshops and rehearsals. So, we'd been through all of that, and people had discussed what they felt and how they felt. And like I said, finally it's smoke and mirrors.
And the reaction to the film has been what?
It's been fabulous so far. I don't know about what it's going to be like in Vancouver. We'll see.
And you're working on, you worked with Don McKellar on something, did you?
I produced a film that Don McKellar has acted in, that's directed by my brother called Dilip Mehta.
And that comes out when?
That is still being edited, so next year sometime. And that's a comedy, so there you go.
There. We'll watch that intently. But the one that I'm interested in, having read what your future projects is, the Komagata Maru project.
Yes, I'm very excited about that, and that we're going to start shooting next September.
And where are you shooting that, here? Or?
I hope in BC, yeah.
In terms of, back to the aesthetics of the film, it goes to black and white at times.
Mm-hmm.
Was there resistance from your producers about that?
No, none at all. I have a producer who understands. I mean, if he's not, he's a very smart guy. And when I told him why I wanted to do it and it made sense to him, there was no problem at all. I mean, the idea is to underline the isolation of the characters, because it's not only Chand who's isolated, it's her husband as well.
And the feedback from audiences has been, have they talked about the message that you're saying in the film?
I think nobody says that's an interesting message, but the reaction has been really, in all the screenings that we've had, whether they're sort of like test screenings or random screenings or at the Toronto Film Festival, is that nobody speaks for the first 5 minutes after the film's over.
That's what I found too at the screening. There were only about 20 of us in the room earlier this week, but it seems we left the room sort of stunned almost.
Yeah, and that has been the reaction. And the point is that, and they all, I have never gotten so many emails as I have ever in my life, even for Water, as I have for this film, where people have just written dreams about a day later, about what stayed with them and that they weren't aware of it and how they feel, complicit in it because of their lack of awareness.
And Miss Gill, Mona Gill, has she seen the film?
Yes, she saw it in Edmonton on Sunday, in fact.
And
I got a fabulous email from her.
And in terms of how accurate it was, did she have anything to say about that?
No, it's not based on her story.
No, I know that, but yeah. I mean, did she find that there were things in the film that struck her particularly?
Well, she did mention that she felt that the mother-in-law in the film was a carbon copy of her mother-in-law.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on this film. I enjoyed it as much as one can, but I did. I was quite impressed with it, and continued good luck with it.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
The book is, the movie is called Heaven on Earth, a Hamilton Mehta production in co-production with the National Film Board of Canada. It opens in Vancouver and Toronto October 24th. For the commentary, I'm Joseph Planta.